It is 100 episodes. This is 100 episodes, everybody. And part of me, I am a little bit liquored up because I was recording this last episode and I was drinking some beers. So here we go. This episode is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/apologue. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from your iPhone, your Kindle, or your any MP3 player. MP3 players don't exist anymore, everybody. Okay? Audible, get it together. So download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/apologue to start your free 30-day trial. Grab a book for free. Have a good time with it. You know, audiobooks, it's the way to go. It's the way to go these days. Next to podcasts. I listen to the whole Game of Thrones thing because I just don't have the patience to read. I have a book downstairs that's covered in dust that I need to read. It's the Elvis Costello biography, and it's there. So go there. audibletrial.com/apologue. Do it now. Also, if you want to go to apologue.ca and check out the Amazon affiliate program I got going, you can click on the banners on the right side, whether you're from the United States, from Canada, or the UK. Click there. Have fun with it. Bookmark those banners. No, bookmark those links. And every time you shop on Amazon, you will be supporting the show with those bookmarked links. Okay? Do that. If you're interested in pledging to this magic, you can go to patreon.com, patreon.com/apologue, and you can pledge as little or as much as you want on a monthly basis to help with hosting and gas fees. You can cancel at any time, and I have patrons, and they are awesome, and they help the show out tremendously. Thank you so much, everybody. You know who you are. Inside Recorders. Now we're dealing with download codes. And you need, if you're in a band or if you're a musician, you need download codes to sell virtual copies of your album over the merchandise table. Insight will help you set up a customized page with your branding for customers to both download and purchase your music. Go there. Online mixing. That's the other thing that Insight Recorders does. It's not just a recording studio where you can record and make some magic. You can send your recorded album to Insight, and it'll be mixed and mastered, and it will add that professional touch. Blah, 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 blah. It's awesome. If you want to go to InsightRecorders.com, check out the rates, details, book some time. Actually, the recording time is pretty much done. I'm not booking any more time until next year. Apologue.ca/shop is a place to pre-order my new acoustic album and work on this new thing. And I have to tell you now it's the 100th episode, I am working on an album with my friend Mike Indovina. I have a bass player in mind. I can't tell who it is yet, but it's going to be Connor Lovett Frazier, who's going to be singing and writing all the lyrics. You might know him from the band Boys Night Out. He is a super cool guy, and he is going to make this amazing album with me. So follow along as we make this great record together. The other thing you can get from apologue.ca/shop is a t-shirt, which are running out. I'm down to the last few. If you need more, let me know. If you buy one and get some back ordered, then there you go. That's what it's going to be. You can buy the Foursquare discography. That's over 72 songs for $20. Like the show on Facebook, facebook.com/apologuepod, and follow me on Twitter at SimonHead666. And here we go. This is the 100th episode, everybody. And I had a good time talking with my friend Tyler, my friend Greg Bolton. Tyler Wilkinson is a basically Canadian music legend. He was the founding member with his family band, The Wilkinsons. Also has a band called The Small Town Pistols, which have won multiple awards. He presently is writing songs right now in Nashville. And he's going to be, you don't even know, he's going to be awesome. He's going to be huge. Because he just wrote a song for a band called Little Big Town. He has a hold on that. I don't know if it's actually, that song's coming out or not. But when it does, we'll be the first to know. Everybody, Thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening to this show. I have some people to thank. My mom has been a big, big supporter of this show. My family, my wife, Spring McRae, my kids, putting up with this crap, you know, because right now my son is sleeping like one wall away, so I have to kind of keep it down a little bit. Everybody, thank you so much for listening to the show. Next show we'll be back on track, so I won't be liquored. I'm a little liquored up right now, I must admit. And thank you so much for listening to this show. Everybody, have a good time listening to this. This is my 100th episode on the Oblive Podcast. Okay, everybody, we're live. I don't see Tyler yet, but he's coming in soon. There he is! Oi, 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 you hooligan!
Oh, Vikings!
Tyler, you saved my ass.
Well.
You did, man.
It's a nice ass. It needs saving.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Hold on, let me turn some volumes up here. Holy crap. So, did you get your Apple Watch?
My Apple Watch?
You get one?
I you know what? To be honest, I haven't really found any use for an Apple Watch yet.
New one's going to be better. I'll show it to you.
What's going to have? Like what's the new? What's the new?
GPS.
Okay, but I got that on my phone.
To really have one, you should exercise.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Here's somebody logged in. Who's that in that little window over there?
I have no clue.
That might be Greg Bolton or not.
Maybe.
Yeah. I have they're gone. So
they're gone.
Okay.
They've been found out.
Yeah. Fuck them. 100 episodes. Have you ever done 100 of something? Like 100 shows in a row?
I've definitely played 100 over 100 shows.
Yeah.
I played well over 100 shows. In 1998, when we first came out, I think we were on the road for 268 days out of the year. Most of that was playing shows.
And were you living it rough? Were you tour busing it?
Some of it was like playing trains and automobiles, and but a lot of it was bus.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, like, because I gave myself I gave myself like 100 episodes to go, oh, should I keep doing this? It's still fun. I mean, there's times when you're like, oh my God, I gotta get this thing out. And this is all going to be like a train wreck if I don't do what I say to do. And I don't know, maybe you're the same way where you're like, you put yourself to it and you're like, I have to do this. If I don't, then I've failed somehow.
Well, I mean, I don't think like it's a failure any way you look at it. I mean, because nowadays, even if you're not like with a podcast, right? You don't have to be making like a profit. You could be just getting on to chat about stuff. So I think like if this is like a form of you know expression for you, you know, 100 episodes shouldn't have been the cap. It should be you know like it should just be a goal.
Yes, that's it. I mean, I wasn't gonna say like. I'm not saying I'm going to stop doing it, but if it was like, I would reach, if it was like 75 episodes and it was like a complete like, I'd still do those 25 episodes just to make sure that I fulfilled what I was going to do, right?
Yeah, that you got to your 100 episodes.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm going to keep doing it now. I've come up with it, you know what I mean? Because it is kind of like making music. It's nothing really like making music, but the whole fact that there's a process. There's a beginning and an end, and then you have a result, and you have your product, and then or product, you have your content, and then you put it out into the world, and then people either listen to it or they don't. You know, there's a lot of similarities between rock and roll and that, and so you guys did some CCMAs. I saw some of your.
We did. Hold on one second. I'm gonna plug in my charger into my computer because
it's gonna die.
it will die eventually. This thing, this is the Franken computer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we were just at the CCMAs. We were doing some cool stuff. We played every year they have this thing called the Legend Show. Mm-hmm. So every single year they always try and have like a Hall of Fame inductee do a song with a new artist. And then, you know, they all do their own songs by themselves. So let's say, you know, Hall of Fame inductee, you know, they get up and do a song. And then the new artist and the inductee get up and they do a song together. And then the new artist gets up and does a song by themselves. So it was kind of really cool because they asked us to, do the Legend Show. And I was like, well, who are we going to be singing with? That's going to be, it's going to be awesome. And they're like, oh, we were thinking about having the Wilkinsons come and, you know, you guys do like a medley. So I was like, hold on, like, are the Wilkinsons like the legend? Am I a legend? 32?
You sure are.
I was like, well, it was cool though. You know, we got up and we did a medley of like five songs. We did three Wilkinson songs and two Small Town Pistol songs. And then because it's the 40th anniversary of the CCMAs, they wanted to have songs from previous artists that were, I think, like Song of the Year or whatever. So we did Sundown by Gordon Lightfoot.
You know what? I saw the Periscope. I guess Aaron was Periscoping on your phone? And or was it your Periscope? No, it was your phone. Yeah. And yeah. Whereabouts was that? It was in London, right? London?
London.
Yeah. What was the venue?
Because so it
looked familiar.
That was at Centennial Hall, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was three different venues, four different venues where they were actually having concerts. So they would have Centennial Hall was one. They had another one called the Wolf Performance Hall. Small little room, but it was like, it's actually in in the same building as the library. But it was cool. It was like, I did a songwriter showcase there. Amanda and I did, went up and played a songwriter showcase there with, Jessica Mitchell, who's another up and coming, Canadian, country girl she's actually from London. Mm-hmm. If you have not heard her, just look up the song Working on Whiskey.
Okay.
Her performance is like undeniable on it. And live, she just kills it. We did it with her, Emily, and then a new band, which is comprised of two members of an older band.
Oh, you're cutting out.
And their band's called The Endless Summer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. So you're in this little community of country music, and how's it feel like? It must be fun. It's like you're meeting up all your old friends again, and you are, you know, handshaking and high-fiving with people who are in, like, coming up from the nowhere, and then people who are up there already. Like, where do you put yourself? Do you find yourself like equals with the little guy? Do you, like, there must be some commonality between the little up and comer and the legend, right?
Truthfully, I know that there's classes. Mm-hmm. In every job there's classes. I just feel like in the Canadian country music world there shouldn't be any classes. There's just people who haven't had their chance yet, and then there's people who have had their chance or having their chance and making the best of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think once we start putting people on like Supreme, now, obviously if somebody's worked hard and paid their dues, they are due a certain amount of respect, but that shouldn't mean that they're given any other crazy special treatment. I think their special treatment is the success that they have.
Yeah.
That's the way I feel.
Yeah. That's,
I mean, yeah. I've seen it for years and years and years in this industry where it's like people look at certain people in the industry and they go like, oh, that's Kenny Chesney, you know, like he's up here, and sure, his success level might be up here, but I think his success should be his reward, not, you know, feeling like he's above everybody else. Or, and the same thing goes with, you know, other people in this industry. So I don't feel like I really should class myself anywhere. I think I've been in this business long enough that, you know, I should garner some kind of respect, mm-hmm. because I have worked hard and I have, you know, this was my 21st CCMA this year. So I don't, but also it's not my position to try and make people feel like that is something I can hold over people, because we all were there at one point. Nobody, if you look at every single person that's massively successful, let's say in the Canadian country music industry. Okay. Mm-hmm. Smith at one point, nobody knew who the heck he was. Right. Mm-hmm. Dean Brody, at one point nobody knew who the heck Dean Brody was. At one point nobody knew who the heck Gord Bamford was, or the Roadhammers, or Jess Moskaluk, or any of these people that are starting to garner big success in Canada. So the thing is, you want to know the perfect example? Brett Kissel. I'm not sure if you're aware of who Brett Kissel is.
I am, actually, yeah.
But Brett Kissel had been coming to the CCMAs for years and years and years and years and years. I'm talking about, like, as a little kid, kind of like how I started. I went to my first CCMA when I was 11 years old. And he had no clue who this person is. The kid, the Wilkinsons are at the peak of their success. If we're going to start putting classes on things, I could have said, like, who the hell is this little shit? Like, what, like, why do I need to talk to him? Mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, or why is he acting like he knows me? But I was always there to be like, oh, hey, how's it going? Shake his hand. Take 5 minutes to talk to him, you know? And now Brett and I are friends, and Brett has really, really, I mean, he's being inducted into the Canadian Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
At only 2 years into his career because of the respect he's garnering, and because of the accomplishments that he is coming up with already. So it's kind of like everybody starts from a low plateau. Nobody starts at the top. So we all have to make sure that it's our job to help one another in some form of some form or capacity. And you know, it's not about who's better than one another. Unless you're getting disrespected, that's what I mean. Like, there are a time and place to actually flash the badge. You know, that there's a time and place for that, but it's not something that you don't wear it on your shirt every single day.
No, and you guys have shown great examples of being classy when all the shit's hitting the fan, when all the people are, when we're at a festival and we're not obviously the headliners, and there's always an element of class that comes from this crew that comes in. You know, we don't, like you say, we don't flash the badge. We just come in, do our gig, and then we're gone. And then we have our free helicopter rides, and then we're out.
Sure.
Just like any other typical festival, you know what I mean? Like,
any other day on the road, you know?
That was pretty awesome though, right?
That was probably one of the sickest things I've ever done on the road. I'm not, like I said, 20 some odd years of touring, and like, I've been in a helicopter before, but this was like, I think this guy was like, he was aiming to please. He was like, I want to make sure these people have the ride of their life.
Yep.
Not having the doors on the helicopter for a couple seconds, I was like, whoa, this is real. When he got like 10 feet from the river, I was like, okay, yeah, this is cool. But I mean, yeah, that was cool. That whole entire trip was really amazing. I mean, like, even like the road tripping out there, and then like road tripping back.
Yeah.
I was just looking at pictures the other day, and I was like, man, saying to Aaron, we saw so much cool stuff on this trip. Like, it was insane.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess we should explain to the people that are listening that We went out to Merritt, BC, and some of us flew, and then Tyler and Justin and Tyler's wife Erin drove out in the car, and met us there. And for what it was, you guys wanted the experience, right? You want to go see things.
I think it was more of an experience than anything. I mean, I think you're like, you know what? This could be super cool to A, go and see, you know, part of the country in America, going through America, and then seeing Canada coming home. And it was great. It was a little bit rushed at times, which kind of sucked. I mean, like, only having 3 days to get out there and then 3 days to get back. I mean, it would have been nice to have more time. But, I mean, we spent an amazing day in – well, first off, we stopped in Minneapolis. Check out the new Viking Stadium, which both Justin, the drummer in the band, and I are massive Vikings fan. Which, by the way, Simon, I got to tell you, I love you, man. You know how much I love you?
Yeah, I know.
The Vikings are playing the Packers right now in their stadium for the first time.
What?
And I'm skipping watching the game right now so I could talk to you because I want to be part of your Hard Earth show.
That is, dude, that, okay. That isn't, are you DVRing it? Please say you're DVRing it.
No. I'll look at the score. We're not going to be on here for 4 hours. I'll go and watch the end of the game. I guess that's the point that matters anyways.
Yeah.
The score.
I really appreciate you coming, doing this, because it is a little momentous for me, you know, like, I've never really done, like, I've done 30 shows in a row. I've played lots of shows, and I, you know, to do something that is, I don't know, I'm very happy that there's people like you and your wife, like Erin, is a huge supporter of the show. Like, she's always sharing it, and she's always saying cool things about the show and telling her friends. And I think she said she wanted to listen from the very first episode all the way through. And I mean, that's huge, man. Like, that's very huge. And it's a compliment, you know? So
all the time. Be like, well, what are you listening to? Like, I'll come home one night and what are you listening to? Oh, I'm listening to Simon's podcast. And I'm like, oh, cool.
That's very,
she does
cool.
Literally. She listens to, I mean, I don't know if she's listened to them all, but I know she's listened to tons of them.
Yeah. That's, you know, that's great. And I think she's the one that should tell me what her thoughts are, because, you know, when you have conversations with people, sometimes there's like a regurgitation of things, and she'd be the one that would know, like, when I start talking about the same things, like, you know, from, so she'd be like the good bullshit detector, like, you already said that, you know what I mean?
Simon, you've asked the same question in all 100 episodes.
So what's it like being awesome? There you go. That's the question.
I'm going to call that the Simon question.
That's my question.
Pondering.
My signature question. Here it comes. Boom! Yeah, you know, like I said, you know, we're not going to go all night. This is more like just the fact that it's streaming live, and that's a tricky endeavor unto its own. Like, there's a computer behind me that's just streaming it, and there's a couple of people listening, and that's awesome. And you know, and just to make all this, I guess you can see my little world here. Like,
yeah,
all of this has something to do with something. Oh gosh, there's two people coming on right now. I wonder who these people are.
Like, are they going to be videos like of these people, or are they just kind of like sitting here creepily watching us?
They might be. Oh, who's that? Oh, is that Greg?
It's Greg.
Greg Bolton.
Where's your video, dude?
It is Greg.
I hear a voice that sounds like Greg.
I don't have a camera like you fancy guys do.
Oh, okay.
You sound really good, Greg. What are you talking on right there? A microphone, like a real mic? Oh, no, he's not. He can't hear me.
We will call him Silent Greg.
Quiet.
This
Greg.
Is an SM7B through my Joe Meek 3Q.
Oh,
wow. Oh, okay. Fancy.
Fun show.
How does my computer mic sound?
And it's ballsy enough because you're actually not even, you don't even have headphones on. That's a ballsy move.
Who, Ty?
I don't have, oh, should I have headphones on?
No, that's how he rolls, though. Don't forget.
Would it look cooler if I had headphones on?
Well, I got my headphones on.
I also have my headphones on.
Let me grab my iPod buds.
There you go. Hey, let's talk to Greg Bolton.
Hopefully they're not the wireless ones.
Greg Bolton, you sound like $1 million. I can't believe how good you sound right now.
I also look it, too. So, I mean, you can't tell, but that's what radio is all about, right?
That's right.
Simon.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Now you're in. Where's your SM7B?
Oh, sorry. I don't. What? Do I have to plug in my USB mic?
That would be
Audio Technica.
Pretty ballsy if we did, though. Then we could actually do a real show here. You know what I'm saying?
Really good.
Greg, we were just talking about playing shows and touring around, and you and Tyler played in Motion Picture Ending together.
And that's correct.
So you hold a very cool... we have this podcast in the car where I actually, I think, just used my phone to record it. And it was probably the most fun I've had in the back of a car for all the wrong reasons.
But hey, we came up with some really good stuff that day, though.
We did. Forget. We came out with an idea of underwear that filters the farts.
I think that's been done before.
Well, we did figure that out.
They're called shreddies.
And it's not nearly as good as our business plan, but I mean, what can you do?
It was cool, though. I mean, we really had it going until I ruined it and Googled it. And then I'm like, I'm not interested in this anymore.
You know, our scientific facts that we went through and all of our testing and the fact we also had a marketing major in the car too kind of helped out with the excitement of creating this gorgeous product that I think Shreddies, if you're listening, we're coming for you. 2021, we're coming for you. Once the technology gets better, you can actually use your iPhone to change the scent, but you don't want to give too much away.
Well, wait, you just gave everything away, Greg. Way to go.
No. But they don't know the technology portion of it.
Okay,
though.
I'll edit that part out so they don't know. the idea.
So much for live.
My uncle was telling me a story today that he invented, because apparently trailers, like pump trailers with a tent on them, they have either an English wiring or North American wiring. And he devised a way with diodes to make North American cars be able to control the lighting trailers, the English ones. And he told me the story that he gave it to this company and they patented it. And then sold it in Canadian Tire as their patent on the name. Because my uncle's a bit of a smart guy, but he was so mad at the world for that. So he told me that patent story. They're all over the place. Who would call the patent office and say, I got this great idea?
do you mind just listening to me for a second?
Just give me a second. This is going to take a while.
He was probably talking to a junior as well, which is even probably better.
Yeah. Are you writing this down?
Let me just send you some pictures too.
No, I'll use a puppet show, show that. Oh my God.
I even made a commercial too. No money.
I'll email you the link to my PowerPoint presentation.
I'm doing a screencast right now. You can come on and do that. Now we're talking about fart filtering underwear, everybody. It's the way of the future. Who's that? Oh, well, we got a couple of listeners, guys. This is good news.
I sent out the Twitter word.
I saw.
So I don't know if they're gonna catch on. And I did a little fast booking too. So hopefully we get a couple people. Now can they see, are they watching us right now?
No, they're listening. It's a completely different feed. But if they wanted to come in and talk on this, I think I can hold up to 8 people in this room. And something tells me that there's a very quiet person in this room.
There is. There's a real creeper just sitting here.
Is this going to be that kind of show?
Ooh. No.
Now on NPR.
I want to know who's there, though, because there's 3 of us talking and there's one person just sitting there like super quiet in the darkness.
I see a black box in the bottom corner.
Me too. What do you think about this technology? This is pretty cool, right? This is... I use appear.in/whatever it is, but it's a free way to like do Skype calls and you don't need to register or anything. Like when you go to the appear.in website, it'll fill you in and all you do is type in any letter, any word, and the person at the other side types the same name in, boom, you're connected. It's magic.
Crazy.
You know what I enjoy about it is the actual lag is almost non-existent. So when I'm looking at you guys speak, I can see it, and it's actually like having a real conversation, unlike, sometimes Skype conversations are, what? Huh?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
I have an important thing to say. It goes like this.
Talking in a bathtub, basically.
I'm gay. So anyways, let's talk about you guys. Motion Picture Ending, when was that? Like, when was the big push for that? Was it in the early 2000s or mid-2000s?
I would say probably mid. When did you move back to Nashville, Ty?
2005 is when we started like really cranking into things. We recorded our album, I believe it was 2006.
I believe that. I think that's correct, yes.
And we did all the circuits and we We took Emergenza all the way to the Canadian finals in Montreal.
It's true.
We really did.
Mm-hmm.
And then we lost to a band that sounded exactly, and I mean exactly, like the, oh, who's that brand of, the Brandon Flowers band, Greg?
Killers?
The Killers. Didn't they sound exactly like The Killers?
I believe so.
There's a lot of bands that sounded like The Killers back
like
then.
Like I swore it was The Killers.
Yeah.
But they were also from Quebec, but, so.
Hey, you know, yeah,
we see Killers.
Yeah.
This is what I think is funny about the, about that whole, like that experience is all of the band awards were handed out by all, what was it, 20, 30 bands that were involved in this massive Canada-wide battle of the bands, Greg?
That's correct, yeah.
So we won drummer, bass player. Then we won guitar player as well, didn't we? And we won.
We mean you. You won best guitar player.
And we
don't
and
be modest.
Won, we, oh, well, thank you. Well, I'm including us all as a group.
That's a team, man.
Because Lord knows I suck at the drums. And then we won the band's favorite. So basically, when we won every single award you could win except for one, other than winning the whole entire thing all over. But it was, man, that was a crazy experience. Don't you think, Greg, that like that was a crazy weird experience that like we peddled all of the tickets for this show and that's how they made all the money, was like literally getting all the bands to basically sell all the tickets to the show.
That seems to be sort of the way of these festivals to kind of make their money, is to say, hey, if you guys want to actually, because I think that in the first few rounds they had to, you know, you had to get voted by the audience as a winner to move on. And, you know, obviously people brought their fans with them. So if you didn't bring fans with you, you wouldn't make it past the round, regardless of how good, bad, ugly you were. It's like the America's Got Talent style. It's not the greatest way to do it, but I say that the best thing that we got out of that whole thing was the fact that we got better at throw and go, as Simon can attest to. That was sort of like we had the set down, we had, you know, we knew when we got there, and it was sort of a really kind of like boot camp. It was like a band boot camp. As terrible as the whole situation was, it was very good for us as a band to figure out our roles, like not only just with the songs and all that other kind of stuff, which is kind of a sidebar, but how we were able to perform quickly, you know, because most of the times, like for the first few rounds, there's like three songs.
Oh yeah, so, like 15 minutes or something.
Exactly. Yeah. So you do all this lead up, you sell these tickets, and they weren't like $5, or I think they were probably $20 a ticket or something stupid like that. So so you spent all this time basically peddling to your friends and and sort of buying tickets to get people in the door. Mm-hmm. And then you're on stage for 15 minutes and hope that you had enough people there. More, actually, you had more people than the next band that played after you.
Carry through,
you.
Yeah.
Well, I think that was the nerve-wracking thing too. It's because like we would sit there and watch all of the other performers and everything like that. And regardless of how you felt about maybe the quality of the music of the other bands, if you didn't actually sell your friends, you know, if you sold two tickets and you were, you know, the best band there, that doesn't matter.
No.
The screamo band that brought 55, you know, friends, they're moving on. Their friends are all sticking their hand up for you. And that was another thing that was funny, is that how they tallied up the votes.
Public school all over again.
You put your hand.
Oh yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It was. And then the Miss Decker up on the stage there with her teacher glasses and her pencil pointed every single person out and said, "All right, that's good. And then we need this much Tang for the rest of the group." And so that's sort of how that was, I think, probably one of the better experiences as a band. You know, obviously playing shows in cool places was fun, but it was, I think that was sort of a landmark in my mind for learning how to be in a band. It wasn't like it helped, you know, us get more, you know, fandom or anything like that. It just actually helped us be better live act, which,
yeah,
as everybody kind of figures out nowadays, buying records and you go and see a show and the band sucks, it's really the only way to keep fans is to actually be good at your craft.
Right.
And
it's so symbolic about what the music industry was 10 years ago, because it's still kind of that way where show me what you can do. If you show me what you can do, then we will help you because you've brought the audience to us, the person that's going to, or the record label that's going to, you know, push your wares. It's kind of like that now. Whereas before it was used to be like you say, by committee, it was like, I like these people. They're talented. Maybe they could do with a new drummer or they have an idea and a plan. Let's push this group and try to make it the best thing possible. Now it's sort of like the cream rises to the top, but it's not always the best thing sometimes, right?
Well, no, Ty and I were talking about this actually yesterday about a buddy of ours, Donnie. His friend wrote this track that we heard in Popeyes last night. And we were just talking about how, you know, he'd actually write some really fantastic music. Oh, is that me or is that you guys?
I don't know. That might be you.
Uh-oh.
Look all at you with your SM7B.
Billions of dollars a year and taking a big crap. I'm just kidding. It's not millions of dollars. What the hell was I saying? Anyways, doesn't matter. But yeah, it's kind of like it doesn't really matter.
Yeah,
the package is worth more than the audible portion of it. Unfortunately, you know, like sometimes you just have to be that now person,
right,
and make your dollar, and then you know, who cares after that? Because there's just so much. There's too much to listen to, so you basically just, you get thrown aside, unless you're good. And I mean, how many new amazing artists are still around after their first album, to be completely honest? I mean, you could name a handful.
Sure.
But
yeah,
that was kind of a, you know.
Well, yeah, the idea, though, there was usually a plan put in place, like at least 15, 20 years ago, before the record industry died, there was a plan, you know, and it's like, it's going to cost money. And where are we going to find that money? Well, we had Factor, and we also had a label sort of backing up financially things, like put you on tour and things like that. But it all turned into a shit mix of like, bring us people, show us how good you are by bringing the crowd to us.
Right.
What's crazy nowadays, like, is that it's not even sometimes about how talented you are. It's about how many Twitter followers you have, or how many Facebook likes you have, or how many people you have on social media.
Which can be bought.
Which can be bought.
Yeah.
And if you flash back, like, let's say 20 years ago in the music industry, somebody was good, they were like, this person's fantastic. We are going to sign them. We are going to develop them. We're going to turn them into an artist, a superstar, whatever you want to say. And then they start going into the studio, or they start, you know, the process of looking for songs or writing songs. And then they go in the studio and they make a record. And now it's a lot more like, oh yeah, we think you're great, you know, bring us the product
that you've already, you know, half sunk most of your life savings in, basically.
Yeah. Bring us the product. And I think it's just the way with the music industry is like going right now, because of the lack of money that's made by, let's say, record sales.
Yeah.
So the money has to come from somewhere, and I get it. It still doesn't mean that it doesn't kind of suck a little bit, but I mean, at the same point too, I mean, you still have the opportunity to go and make music and do something you love as a career, as long as you can, you know, keep a roof above your house, above your head. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And everybody kind of, it's that, I mean, is there a transition between like your day job and then, like, it's kind of like almost like a movie where it's like, I had this, I was working in construction, and then I, you know, we had the record deal and then we were popular. It seems so simple, like point A to point B. There's so much involved. There's so many things, and there's so many bridges and so many hoops to jump through, and so many hands and high fives and all that stuff. And You know, for me, I created my own destiny, and my destiny was like, I don't know if I really want to do that. You know what I mean? I don't know if I really want to curtail to a label or to the needs. You know, it takes a special kind of patience.
I think that's sort of why indie labels had that surge for a long time. Like, look at Broken Social Scene. Like, look at how big that they got being signed to such a independent label with, you know, I'll put in quotations, you know, lack of funds. But I think that because they didn't have all the other hoopla of the brass and the suits and the guys flying in the jets and having to pay for that crap, that the label was paying for them to make great music. And that's sort of the point, I guess, which is really sad that has to happen. And, you know, it's nice to see that these, again, indie labels are doing something and actually, you know, bringing acts on that have an act. I mean, you wouldn't see Broken Social Scene on Universal yet, you know, at that point you wouldn't, because they wouldn't know what to do with them.
Yeah.
It's not a market, right? They can't sell the posters, and they can't sell to the kids, and they can't put it into commercials. But the music is still good, and that's the thing.
I believe, too, the reason that, you know, a band like Broken Social is that they had this cult following and people would buy anything. Like, I think if Broken Social Scene wanted to take a dump on a piece of vinyl and put it in the record sleeve and then put it in the record store with their poop in it, and it said Broken Social Scene, people like, wicked, new Broken Social Scene. It, you know, it doesn't even sound like shit, even though there's shit all over it, literally and figuratively. But I really, they have so much going for them like that way. Like, where do you find a fan like that? And I guess the whole answer to that is that you speak to a community of people that love that, and they didn't know they loved it. You know what I mean? They just carried in. They found these people that were just walking around like zombies. Like, well, I don't know what to like, you know. And then here it is, band like that that caters to such a fine but loyal fan base. It's You can't engineer that at all, right?
Absolutely not. No. And I think you hit it on the head saying loyal. Mm-hmm. That's the key.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah, I mean, look at Feist. Feist is the same thing. Feist had like this big background of loyal fans, and she was like a Midwest kind of like a you know, superstar when it came to like Prairies, and then all of a sudden she wrote that big song and bam, she's a massive. But whatever she did, she spoke to this great mass of people. And that's, I think, Tyler, last time we were on the show, I don't think we talked a little bit about that, is that you can't just make that up. It just happens. Like,
yeah,
you luck out, right? That's the luck part of it.
I feel like timing and luck has a lot to do with most successes in the music industry. Unless there's just a massive amount of money behind it, because I truly do feel like there are certain instances in this industry where the music is subpar, and you know, but they have so much money,
yeah.
You know, whoever is pushing this person, that they are using that money to convince you that you want to hear this music.
Well, I mean, if you hear it a million times on the radio or in commercials, you're going to end up singing it to yourself. They're doing it. I mean, they're doing marketing 101, but yeah, for sure.
But you know, the thing that is different between, let's say, one of those acts, right? That's fast food. That's a McDonald's hamburger. Okay. That is not your favorite local restaurant where you get the veal parmesan, and you're like, I've been going there for years, I will go there for years, because that is quality and that's amazing. Because you might say, oh yeah, I'm gonna go to McDonald's right now, but it's temporary. It's not something you latch onto. So your Feists and your Broken Social Scenes, or let's even go, you know, let's say even bigger, your Adele's, those are people that people are, those are artists that people are going to latch on to for a career.
Yeah.
Not just a, oh yeah, I loved their song last summer.
Yeah.
But will you remember them though? at that point, because you've already heard 12 other songs since last summer.
Exactly.
There's also bands like, if you look at Death Cab for Cutie, that started off and they had that huge record that was unsigned, really, literally, and then they got signed to Atlantic and became popular. There's a lot of people, I don't know, maybe I'm just an anomaly, but when I heard, like, you know, Transatlanticism for the first time, and then I just heard that they put out a new record, like, I don't know, this year, I can't attribute, I didn't follow them along, you know what I mean? Like, so I sort of stopped at about Plans, which was, I think, two
it's
albums.
It's a great record.
Yeah, it's a great album.
That was a great record.
But I stopped, and maybe if I would have carried on into the next two records, I think, that they put out after, maybe it'd be a different story, because I'd be along the ride, you know, along with them, you know, maybe be more loyal. But I'm sure they understood that every time they challenge their audience to listen, they're going to lose a few along the way.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you could attribute that to, I mean, bands like Jim Eat World, too.
Yeah.
Same sort of story.
They just play.
Yeah.
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 But, you know, okay, since we're on the Jim Eat World train, and Greg knows I'm a massive Jim Eat World fan, I've listened to the new single. And I listened to the last record, and I still love them so much. I mean, I really feel like they have a special place in my history as a person and my musical history. But I feel like sometimes we talk about changing things up and alienating your audience, right? You know, you say you're going to alienate, but I think it's necessary. Mm-hmm. I think it's necessary to tweak your sound, whether or not you agree with it at all. Parachutes by Coldplay sounds nothing like, what was their last record that they had out?
I don't even remember anymore. I just remember Milo Xyloto, and then after that, I kind of lost track.
But it really doesn't sound. But still. Are there elements of it that you feel like they're really chasing a commercial, you know, a commercial sound? Yes, there are. But I still feel like at the core of it does sound a lot like a Coldplay record. But they've just grown, they've changed, they've shifted, they've moved with you know,
their flow. Like they had their flow. Own, yeah.
They've moved with the time. And they've moved with the sound that maybe is popular, but they also haven't gone so popular that they have lost who they are.
Yeah, they're also, Coldplay's the type of band that will go play on Sirius Satellite, and they sound like Coldplay did. They play their new songs, but they still kind of sound like they did when they put out Yellow, or you know what I mean. Like, so it's they have that sound, but their production and their albums change, and you know, bands like Wilco would do that too. They put a record out that sounds. Hey, this doesn't sound like Wilco, and then they go play it live, and it's like, oh, this is Wilco, you know. And that's kind of the best example to that is I once saw Ben Folds, and he played with a classical musician. And I know, Tyler, you're not a big Ben Folds fan. I'm a massive fan, but he took songs that my buddy Al and I are looking at each other, going, I don't know if I'm into this. And then we got halfway through the show, and went, oh, I'm totally into this, because he reinvented old songs and made you. He challenged everybody. Brought everybody on board. I've never seen anybody take like a whole crowd. You could tell the vibe was like coming down, like, whoa, wait a minute, this is weird. And then everybody's like, oh, I can get into this. And it was like a trust factor, right? It was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah. I think like at the core of it, we're talking about the fact that there are people who keep an audience.
Mm-hmm.
Their audience becomes invested. And I think that's the point, right?
Yeah.
Like, as musicians, I really feel like that is the point of, if you're going to be an artist, you just don't want success. You want people to truly care about the music that you make. Yeah. And I feel like there's, you know, there always has been a level of these are, you know, pop hits or radio hits, or these are the songs that are just being thrown out because they're good. They still are good. There's nothing wrong with the songs at all. But there's certain aspects of it that the audience isn't truly connecting with. They're loving the song. They're loving in country. You can see it's specifically, you know, there are so many songs out there right now that, you know, people are like, oh yeah, I love this song. I listen to this all the time when I'm driving in my truck, but they might not buy a ticket. You know, they might not buy a ticket to a show.
Yeah, they're on the they
buy the record.
Yeah.
They may not buy might not buy
the record. Hear them on the radio.
Exactly. Yeah. One of the most important things I really feel is that like, you know, if you got to keep people invested, and if people are invested, that's just a good thing. I mean, I think that's why Amanda and I, when we play our shows, we try and give it like 100%, you know, all the time, because I want people to leave going like, wow, that was only 30 minutes, let's say, for at a festival. I wish that was an hour and a half.
Yeah, definitely. Because if you get put on at 2:30 till 3 o'clock, you could turn that into a big negative if you wanted to. You could say, oh, this kind of sucks. Because, yeah. You know what I mean? And
the audience feels that.
That's right. It's all fluid, you know. I mean, Greg, you should have been at this Merritt show. We were just talking about it before and jokingly talking about, ooh, hello. Jokingly talking about like free helicopter rides and things. But that was one of those situations where a show where you won, you know what I mean? You came into it and it was sort of like a little sporadic amount of people. And then the show, people just kept coming in. It was perfect timing. And it was just just where you were in the set, you know, and what would have made it one better is being the next, you know what I mean? Like being in High Valley's spot, because that was where the sun was just going down. It was just turning into this. Now it's a show, because when the sun goes down, you can get real liquored. That's what I hear.
That's the whole point of going to a show, right?
That's right, yeah. There was also some funny things said during that show, during the intermissions between bands, is, please don't throw your empties in the river. These liquored up country fucks. Yeah. They were, but that was a special show. And yeah. You know what, we videotaped it, and you know, if you it's on a private YouTube feed, but I think it's something that needs to get maybe brought out in little chunks here and there, where for people to, and maybe it needs to be seen in full so you can get the whole idea. Because it was, the whole show just started like, it's really bright in the eyes because the sun's right there, and then the show just got this groove going to it, one I've never really seen before. So it was very cool.
It was fun. I love playing those shows, especially like if you're playing at like 2:30 in the afternoon or like, you know, like 4 or whatever. Mm-hmm. I love playing the shows where you start with like 4 people at the front of the stage, 5 people at the front of the stage. And then by the end, you know, maybe you have, you know, a couple thousand people at the front of the stage. I feel like in those shows, it's like, you see that there's a draw. You see that there's people that are coming because they're interested.
Yeah.
Does it not make you work harder too? That to the fact that, okay, there's 4 people, but in order for me to get to these 4 people, I gotta make it look like I actually want to be here. And that's, you know, probably part of the draw of people walking up to the stage. I mean, if it was a band that you didn't care for, you wouldn't waste your, you know, mid evening standing in front of a stage when you could be eating and drinking, yet people flocked to the stage because you're busting your balls to win every single person in the audience. And that's what you guys do the best, is that
so many variables involved. Because rather, and you said it right, because a lot of people will be at their trailers eating bratwurst and drinking beers, and you know, but there's a situation when we were in PEI, and we showed up to the next day, we weren't even playing, and the promoter came up and said, you know, I think I made a mistake. I'm going to put you guys on now for 10 minutes if you want. And it was Tyler and Amanda and an acoustic guitar, and it was a full house. And that was another situation where it was like, everybody knows these songs, you know, everybody knows this group, everybody knows it. And it was you, Amanda, and the guitar. And it was one of those situations where you could have shown up in flip-flops and like, you know what I mean? Like khaki shorts. Yeah. But everybody, it was almost like the stars aligned. Amanda came dressed to kill, ready to play, and Tyler as well. And it was one of those, oh, that's the job. Because if it was me and I'm going to a festival and I'm not performing, I'm going to look like a slob. You know what I mean?
You're going to be eating corn dogs all day long.
Hangover stubble.
Yeah. Bad muscles. So that was, to me, one of those magical moments where people singing along, and it was like, this is really positive. And I was trying to get Justin to have his camera phone, and I was trying to do like a 3-camera shoot with like strangers. Like, can you send me the video? And then we were trying to make it into a video. But I just had one camera at the end of it all. But it was one of those moments where it was like, this is very cool, because this is, you're reaching people, and it's through buzz. You know what I mean? It's not through, I don't know, marketing, or it was pretty visceral, right?
Yeah. So that was a great show. And how you've progressed now, how many cameras do you bring to a show?
I bring 4.
Team.
I bring 4 little cameras, and I record it multi-track. Like, dude, I'm actually pulling some pretty amazing feats with one man as a tour manager, sound guy, recording guy, videographer.
Don't forget babysitter.
Babysitter. Well, that's what it says on my email signature, but that's only tongue in cheek. I don't need babysitting these folks. These guys, they got it figured out. Now, having to go, like, I have babysat bands, like Ashley McIsaac, where he's like, I need you to take me to go buy drugs, like, right now, you know? So, yeah, I've babysat before. But the that's pretty good Ashley McIsaac invitation, if you ever met Ashley, by the way. No, but it's always a joy watching something turn in from what potentially could be a complete negative into a positive, and that's what I see.
Can't all be us, Simon.
No. there's that modesty again.
Yeah. No, I think we've talked about this before in our last podcast. It's like, there's nothing better than getting together with a whole crew of people that all are like, we're all like-minded. We all have the same goals as far as the show day goes. We've played with some people before in the band. It's like, they make it about themselves, and not that it should ever be. It's not, I'm not saying it's meant to be about me, right? Cause I'm the member of the band, but you know, they, whatever negativity they are feeling in that day or whatever, it transposes onto their performance. And then it, you know, it kind of becomes like, well, why would you try and hinder everybody else on stage because of something that you're going through personally? I remember one time we had like keyboard player dude that was like literally hated being on the road. He hated it. And I was like, well, why, man, like, stay at home. You're a great piano player. Go play for a jazz band and stay at home. And it's like he brought that out there, and we eventually stopped using him. Mm-hmm. But I mean, with our crew, the way we have it right now, all of us are, you know, we all get along. We all go out there and we all try and give it 100%. Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, chemistry is a big thing too, right? Like, I've always played in bands my whole life, but I always like the chemistry of the people. As opposed, sometimes chemistry on stage is a little different and more stilted and weird, but it sounds great and it's awesome. But then there's that perfect balance, and I had a perfect balance of dudes in my band, and then it turned into, well, that guy went away that way, and it was always tough to try and recreate that same chemistry. But I think what we have going, because there's, you know, we have a West Coast side, and then we have an East Coast side, and now we have a Winnipeg side. So wait, there's someone else coming in. But there's always a great chemistry. Like, I like the Winnipeg crew. I don't know what those guys were awesome.
They are great. Like Brennan and Meg and it was just Brennan and Meg and Justin for that last show.
Yeah,
was
no
great.
Keys, yeah. And they were just cool dudes, good hang, and I think that's a prairie thing too. I think just people from the prairies are just a little bit more chill. I wonder what they think of us, people from the prairies. They're like, these crazy big city
these people with their agendas, their hotel rooms.
Yeah, no, I say every time there's a chemistry with the Small Town Pistols, with the crew we've put together. What is my fourth year?
Yeah.
You know, that's a bit of a milestone for me. Well, SNFU, I did about 6 years, but it wasn't like, you know, there was a big break in between there. So it wasn't like in a row every year. So we could have found a lot of times to actually maybe hate each other during the, but there's a nice understanding, a nice little crew love, and everybody does it for the same reason. And that's why I think I'm sticking around, because it's like that, you know, it feels like I'm in a band, but even though I'm not playing on stage, it just feels like I'm in part of the band.
Yeah. And I think what's great about us too is, like, you know, if I've got an issue with you on the road, I just come talk to you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it's not like we make big deals. There's no mountains out of molehills here. Like, yeah. We just try and deal with the issues as they approach, or not as they approach, because
as they happen. Yeah.
As they happen, we deal with the issues, and we all have a common ground, and it's cool. It's honestly one of the most positive experiences I've ever had on the road is having the crew that we're in right now.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And this side too, because there's a respect, and the respect is a, I don't know, like, if you don't know somebody that well, the respect thing can fall away real fast. But there's always been a respect thing. So, you know, and I know, like, sometimes when things are just not together, it's through no fault of planning. It's just the way it goes. You know what I mean? So, but there's enough respect from you guys to say, well, this is one of those shows, or it's one of those days. And that's with repetitions, you gain all these things. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'd say.
Where are you, Greg?
I'm here. I'm just listening to the conversation. It's beautiful. Yeah.
We do have another joint. We have another shadowy listener again.
This is creepy.
Put your clothes back on, guys.
Okay. We have some great listeners. I'm actually afraid to, like, throw out the website for people to join in, because we have four here, and they're obviously Small Town Pistol listeners. But shall we see if anybody wants to come in on this, or, like, what do you want to do?
Yeah, I'm cool with that. We can the world is our apologue oyster right
there
now.
Might be some haters. I don't know. I'm afraid. Like, we got some good luck.
But it's like taking callers though in a radio show. I mean, you gotta have it. It's gotta be some sort of drama going on, right?
No,
you can't
delay.
Just love each other the whole
there's
time.
There's no delay for me. Well, I guess the delay was this is coming out in like 3 hours actually tomorrow on iTunes, so I guess I could edit out all the negative shit, but this might be fun.
I'm pretty sure the CRTC won't care what we have to say.
No,
our dynamic is going to be that you are Howard Stern, I'll be Robin. I'll be the nice one. You can be the asshole.
You got any news for me, Robin? How about okay?
Greg is Benji.
Okay, so
you guys are mean.
But let's keep talking. Now, this is so weird that there's a fourth person that's not saying anything. This is a first, because usually this is actually where I go and I do the interviews with people. So when I'm doing online, I actually can see the branding in the background. That's pretty sassy.
It's neat.
Yeah. So let's see who pops on here. We have some listeners. Actually, it'd be funny if it was Aaron, just like
she is listening right now.
Oh, okay. So she's
definitely not getting on the video.
No, that's one of. Remember, I gave you the link for Twitter. Let's see if anybody. I'm not going to take too much more of your time because it's 9:30 p.m.
Ooh.
As well. Greg,
the school night.
If you ever want to come on a podcast, Greg, you got the best mic. You got the best hookup right now because you could be naked. And
oh no, I am naked. There's no question about that.
You really have a camera.
In the screen dark.
Yeah, you guys don't want to see that.
I'm wearing my jersey, but I'm naked from the waist down. Mm. So
it's really, you know, I have the air conditioning on. I have so much equipment in here. This room's like getting up to like 99 degrees right now. It's like a fucking sauna in here.
Well, nobody knows if you're taking your clothes off. Only us, and you know we've been close enough together for the past 4 years that
I know whoever comes on might see it though. My wiener,
your wiener. Okay. There you go. That's how you get people to come.
Yeah. I know. Let's give it a couple of minutes, but you know, like I said, I really, Tyler, especially, you know, and Greg, I really appreciate you guys coming on my 100th show. It does mean a lot to me, you know, and it's one of those things where, but this is one of those things, these occasions where I've actually done something where it's actually feels like it's a positive thing. And, you know, I thank you guys for actually supporting the show and letting people know about it. And, you know, that's very huge.
It's pretty momentous, man. 100 episodes is it's quite crazy.
It's a lot of talking.
It's a lot of talking.
It's a lot of talking. Like Aaron has told me about a couple of them where she's like, yeah, it was all Simon. It was like an hour of Simon talking because the interviewee was like literally giving one word answers. Yeah. We're not talking about my blues record, man.
Oh, son of Dave. Yeah, that was a tricky one. You know, I love that guy and we laughed a little bit, but that was one, there's been a few where you're like, why do you want to be on the show? Like, why do you...
You know this is a talk show, right?
There's a few people that get on it going, I could get out of here in like 10 minutes. Like, there's one singer guy. He was watching, literally watching the hockey game. I'm like, are you watching the hockey? Yeah, I'm watching the hockey game. I'm like, well, could you switch it off? Because, you know, I hate to be a dick here, but there's, you know, there's something going on here. You know, we're getting in the, you know, the occasion here. And, yeah, you know, but, you know, like you're right. There has been a few trying situations. And because I don't think people are used to hearing people talk. And I don't think people who are being interviewed are used to actually talking. I think they're used to just going through the motions. And, you know, this got changed.
Or maybe sometimes people are just used to giving, like, the same answers to everything. So, like, mm-hmm. if they're given a question that they don't have to actually, like, maybe really think about.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, you're like blowing their mind. Blowing their mind with these questions, Simon.
The tricky thing too is I need reciprocation. I need, when I keep throwing things out and a lot of people comment where it starts with like, hey, so tell me about you and this, and then it just slowly but surely turns into a conversation. And that is to me success. And I don't know, maybe, you know, it's one of those things we were talking about bands and popularity and things. Maybe people just want to hear people talk, you know what I mean? Maybe that's the thing is because everything is so fast, you know, like the world is fast, you know, let's slow down for a second and think. And, you know, it's not like we're making thought-provoking things here, you know what I mean? We're kind of documenting, we did anyways, we're documenting what was happening sort of in the early days of mid-2000s or whatever. But I think, yeah, that's what people want to hear, I think. I hope conversations. Because I don't think I could do it with, like, that beat in the back. Like, so, tell me, Tyler, tell me, what's it like? What's it like being in the small town Pistols?
What's it like being you?
That's great. What show? Traffic, weather, and sports. Can't talk right now. Anyways, yeah, so, yeah, we're not doing that.
No, and it's, and you know what's nice about, like, especially coming on your show and talking. We're gonna touch on the music, obviously, because it's a topic of passion between you and I and Greg.
Yeah.
We're gonna talk about that, but then it doesn't feel like, obviously, we're talking like we're friends. We're talking like we are workmates, and we're talking about maybe some of the issues that we have with, you know, let's say the music industry.
Yeah.
Or, you know, some of the, you know, the positive things or the ins and the outs. And we're doing it in a style that's like, we're friends. It feels real.
Yeah.
And that's good. And hopefully through all the antics and everything like that, you know, the listeners of the podcast can hear the fact that we actually are really enjoying talking to each other.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we are.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of the times when you're talking about, say, we're talking shop, essentially, right? And when people who don't know what shop is, like, they don't know what that lingo is, it compels them to sort of, like, go investigate when we start talking about things and maybe figure out maybe there's something a little bit like, oh, that's what they're talking about. My only example is my mom. My mom listens to podcasts. She has no idea what the music industry is, but she enjoys listening to stories and she enjoys listening to things because some of these stories I've never told to my parents, you know? So that's pretty cool. Oh, that person left. Oh, maybe they're back.
Oh, they're back again.
Maybe that's my mom.
Bring her on. I'm sure she has lots of questions.
I think my mom's in bed right now.
Hey, mom.
Hey, mom. Well, let's wrap it up because you got a game to watch, and Greg, you've been awesome. There's that New Year's show, right? That's coming up in Saskatoon.
Saskatoon, and we have the Deerhurst Resort show in December. I believe that it's December.
It's the first week or second week?
Third, I believe.
First week, okay.
And I believe that
Empire.
Yeah, I believe the Empire in Belleville is the 8th.
I'm excited about that.
I'm seeing little dots now on the screen.
Me
and
too.
Flash on the
Oop, they're gone.
So I don't know what the heck that means.
It's Al Qaeda.
Maybe we might be trying to join in. That is the easy answer.
Is it Homeland Security?
It's Homeland.
I figured that was good.
That's a three dots is Homeland. Four dots is bad. Four dots is Al Qaeda. Oh, they're gone. Oh wait. Somebody's
got a text message.
Say Deerhurst. Oh, Deerhurst was the third from an anonymous person.
Oh, I wonder who that was.
It's probably your wife.
If it's your wife, she is correct.
That's right. Was gonna say is December 3rd. Okay, there you go. Well, thanks for that. I wonder who that would be. Well, whoever it is, thanks for fact checking that. Deerhurst and then the Empire in Belleville on the eighth. And then New Year's Eve in Saskatoon where it's gonna be cold as fuck.
I hope it's an outdoor show.
Suckers. Greg, you know what you gotta do? Gotta drive across Canada. That's the way to do it.
Oh, that's what I hear.
That's the way.
With the top down.
It's New Year's at a nudist casino.
And it's a nudist casino. That's one way to get people to spend money.
And it's out. And it's outside.
It's outside. It's called Shrink Fest.
Shrink Fest.
It's called. No. It's gonna be good. You know what? You know what? I can't wait to eat prime rib. Can't wait.
Just in general, or there?
There. Casinos and prime rib seem to go hand in hand for some reason.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, thanks, guys. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the show. 100th episode. We'll be back next week. And thanks to Tyler and Greg Bolton.
I'm disappointed that you didn't have sparklers.
I know. And did you sing happy birthday to him, Ty?
Hold on a second. It's like fucking pyro and shit. Everybody's
you had it rigged up. All this time.
Fire alarm. My kids are crying.
Just throw a cherry bomb under the door.
All right.
No, but seriously, dude, congratulations on 100 episodes.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations.
As we have
it's your wife.
Oh, we do have a joiner.
Who's that?
Oh, it's hi. It's my wife from the kitchen.
There it is.
Thank you.
You guys can't share a computer?
Thank you for bringing me a beer, sweetheart.
There she is. It's Aaron. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Simon. I was listening in the bathtub, but my feed on my phone kept crapping out on me, and I don't know why, because we're using the same Wi-Fi, and as far as I know, everything's up to date. But I knew that my laptop was in the bedroom, so I snuck in past Tyler, and I stole it, and now I'm in the kitchen. Whoa. Because we need our screens, obviously. I'm not going to share with him.
No.
That's technology right there. That's technology. Thanks, Aaron, for piping in. Thanks for coming in near the end, by the way, too. Oh my God, this is getting on. Okay, I'm gonna hit stop, and then we'll talk after.
Okay.
Thanks, Simon.
Bye. That was my 100th episode, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to the show. It means a lot. I really appreciate it. Actually, if you went over to iTunes, gave it a little bit of a rate and review, give us 5 stars, that would help out. Pretty huge. Be great. Do your part. Do my part. No, I don't want to be a dick. I have to keep it down because my son is sleeping next door. It is 10:25 right now on Sunday. And this episode is coming out in about 4 hours. I have to edit it down. I have to get it in. I have to do my little write-up. I have to do the thing. Oh, yeah. There you go. So, thanks for listening to the show. We'll see you next week. Next week, I have Mr. Rustin Baldwin, who used to play in a band called Trigger Happy. That was a good one. It's a good one. Actually, it's going to be a good one. And the week after that is going to be Andre McRae, my cousin. He's a piercer, and he works in the town of Oshawa. And he works in art, and he does cool things. And he's an interesting dude because, first of all, he's under the age of 30, and he's more interesting than me. So that's why he's on the show. thanks so much, like week after week after week. We'll see you next week on the 101st episode. See ya, bye.